B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Tainis Daf Chof. We're going to start 10 lines from the bottom of Daf Yutes Omud Beis. Says the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonim, Pam achas olu kol Yisrael l'regel l'Yerushalayim. It once happened that all of Klal Yisrael went up to Yerushalayim for Yom Tov, Pesach, Shavuah, Sukkos, for Aliyah l'regel. And they didn't have enough water to drink. The wells that were on the way had dried out. Holach Nagdimon ben Gurion Eitzel Odoin Echod. Nagdimon ben Gurion, who was a very wealthy person, he was a Yid, he went to some goy, some prestigious and famous goy, an Odoin, some minister of sorts. Omer Loi, and Nagdimon ben Gurion said to this goy, Hilveini Shteim Esrei Mainus Maim Lo'ilir Golim. Lend me 12 wells of water so that the Oilir Golim, the pilgrims, should have what to drink. And he said, lend them to me, which meant, Vani etein necho shteim esre einois maim, and I'll give you back 12 wells of water. Now, what he meant was, I'll make sure that the rain comes down. That year was a very dry year. There wasn't any rain. And that's why his wells had, or the wells of Klal Yisrael had dried out. And Nagdimon ben Gurion promised this Odoin, this goy, that he would make sure that by a certain time, the wells would be refilled. Vim einois necho. And he promised him that if I don't give you back the water, if the wells don't refill, then to pay for them, I'll give you 12 kikor, which is a weight of silver. And he made a set time, and he said, by that time, either your wells will be refilled, or I'm going to give you a very exorbitant amount of money, 12 kikar kesef. The time arrived when those wells were supposed to be replenished, and no rain had fallen yet. So Bashachris Sholachloi, so this goy, this Odoin, sent a message to Nagdimon ben Gurion in the morning. Shagerli oimaim, either give me water back, oimois sheshli biyadcha, or give me the money that you owe me. Sholach loy, Nagdimon ben Gurion sent a message back to this Odoin, Adayin yesh lizman, I still got time, kol hayom kulay shelihu, the whole day is mine, I only need to pay you by the end of today, the day has not come to an end. Batzoraim sholach loy, in the afternoon this guy again sent a message to Nagdimon ben Gurion, and again said, shager li oimayim oimois, yesh li biyotcho, either return the water or the money that you owe me. Sholach loy Nagdimon ben Gurion again sent back the message, Adayin yesh li shos bayoim, there's still time. B'mincha, later on in the afternoon, Sholach loy again the goy sent the same message, Shager li mayim oimois yesh li biyodcha. And again Sholach loy sent him a message, Adayin yesh li shos bayoim, the day is still mine. Ligle golov oisei odoin, this goy, he mocked him. Omar, kol hashana kula lo yardu geshamim. This guy said to, or said about Nagdimon ben Gurion, that it doesn't make sense. The whole year, no rain had fallen. V'achshav, and now you think in the next few minutes or hours of the day, yardu geshamim, exactly today, right now, the rain is going to fall. Nichnas lebeis hamerchatz besimcha. This guy went into the bathhouse in joy. He was sure that the rain wouldn't come down in time, and that he would get this big sum of money from Nagdimon ben Gurion. Ad she'odin nichnas besimchos lebeis hamerchatz. Whilst this goy went into the bathhouse in joy, Nagdimon nichnas lebeis hamikdash kushuhu otziv. Nagdimon ben Gurion went into the beis hamikdash, but he went in not besimcha. He was rather downcast. Nisatev, he wrapped himself up, probably in a talis, in a garment, va'omad b'tfila, and he stood in davened. Omer Lefonov, he said before Hashem, Ribboine Sheloilam, Golu v'yedua lefanecho, it's clearly known to you, Sheloi lichvoidi osisi, I did not do this to undertake to provide the water for the Oilir Golim in my own honor, v'loi lichvoid beis Abba osisi, nor did I do it for the honor of my father's house, Elo lichvoidcho osisi, I did it for your honor, Hashem. Sheyu mayim metzuyim lo'Oilir Golim, so those people coming up to your beis Hamikdosh to be Oilir Egel should have water. Miyad niskashru shamayim be'ovim. Immediately the sky became overcast with clouds. V'yardu geshamim ad shenismalu shteim esrei mayinu ismayim v'hoisiru. That the rain fell, and all those 12 wells had been completely filled with water. And not only that, there was even, it overflowed. It was even more water than he had borrowed, he paid back. So whilst this goy was coming out of the bathhouse, Nagdimon ben Gurion yotzu mibeis hamikdash. Nagdimon came out of the beis hamikdash. Kishapogu ze beze, when they met each other, Omar loy, then this Nagdimon ben Gurion said to the goy, ten li dmei mayim yoiser, sheyesh li biyodcha. I gave you back more water than I borrowed. Give me or pay me for the difference, for what I've given you, that you don't deserve, that I didn't owe you. Omar loy. So this guy said to him, it's clear to me that Hashem shaked up the world just for you. Statistically, there was no reason in the world that this rain should have fallen exactly at that point. However, I still do have an argument against you. And with that argument, you'll have to pay me the money. Because when the rain fell, then the sun had already set. The day was over. It was too late. And when the rain fell, they fell after the deadline, and it was as if it fell in my possession, not in yours. Chozar v'nichnas lebeis hamikdash. Again, Nachdimon ben Gurion went into the beis hamikdash. Nis'atif v'omad b'tfilo. V'omar lefonov. Riboyne sheloilom. Again, he said to Hashem, Hoida sheyesh locha ahuvim bo'olamcha. Let everybody know that you have people that you really love, Klal Yisrael, in this world. Miyad nispazru avim. Immediately the clouds dispersed. V'zorcha hachamo. And the sun shone through where the clouds were. This is making it very clear that the day had not yet passed. We'll soon see in the Gemara that at that point in time, the day was already over. However, Hashem did a nes, and the sun stood in its place and didn't set that day in order to make this nes for Nagdimon ben Gurion. But Oysa Shah Omale Odin, at that point, this guy said to Nagdimon ben Gurion, Ilu loy nikdara achama, had the sun not pierced through the clouds, making it clear that it's still day, then I would have had an argument against you to take the money from you. But now that this miracle happened, and the clouds dispersed, and the sun shone through, it's now clear that the day is not yet over, and therefore indeed you don't owe me anything. Tana, we learnt in a brisa, loy nagdimoin shemoi elo buni shemoi. The truth is that this Nagdimoin ben Gurion, his real name was Buni, not Nagdimoin. Veloma nikro shemoi Nagdimoin. Why is he referred to as Nagdimoin? She nikdoro chamo ba'avuroi. The word nikdoro means to break through, and the rays of the sun, they penetrated between the clouds, and because of this miracle that the sun had pierced the clouds on his behalf, therefore he was called Nagdimoin. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. Shleisha nikdemolohem chamo ba'avuron. For three people, the sun remained on the east. Normally the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. However, for three people, the sun didn't set on time. The sun stood in place. Moshe, for Moshe Rabbeinu, and the second one, Yeshua ben Nun, and the third one is Nagdimon ben Gurion. Bishleima, says the Gemara, Nagdimon ben Gurion, Gemara. We have a tradition, we just learnt the story, that this was a story that was transmitted by tradition. We knew that to be fact. Yeshua Nami, Kro, regarding Yeshua bin Nun, it's explicit psukim in the Novi. The Chsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vayidoim Hashemesh, that the sun stayed still, Vayoreach Omod, and the moon stood in its place. Elom Moshe Minolon, how do we know that the sun stood still for Moshe Rabbeinu? Says the Gemara Omer Belazar, Asya Ochil Ochil. There's a Gzeira Shova, that the word Ochil means I will begin. It says it twice, once by Moshe Rabbeinu, and once by Yeshua bin Nun. And we're using the Gzeira Shova to say that in the same way as by Yeshua bin Nun, the sun stood still, so too by Moshe Rabbeinu. Ksiv Hocha, regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, it says in the Pasuk, Ochil Teis Bachtacha, I will begin to put the fear, the dread of you on the nations. Uchsiv Hosom, and regarding Yeshua, it says, Ochil Gadelcho, I'm going to begin to make you great. So there's a Gzeira Shova that compares Yeshua to Moshe. And the same way as by Yeshua, the Pasuk says that the sun stood still, so too for Moshe Rabbeinu, the sun stood still. Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omar, a different Gzeira Shova. Asya, taste, taste. The word taste, which means to put, is a Gzeira Shova. Ksiv Hoche, it says here regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, Ochel Teis Pachtecho. Not from the word Ochel, but from the word Teis. I will put your fear on the nations. Uchsiv Hosom, and regarding Yeshua, it says, B'yoim Teis Hashem Es Ha'emoiri, on the day that Hashem is going to give over, is going to put the Emoirim over. So they'll have the words, Teis, Teis, it's a Gzeira Shova. Rabbi Yechanan says we actually learn it out without Gzeira Shova. Asya Migufa Dekra, we can see it from the Pasuk itself by Moshe Rabbeinu. Because what does it say in the Pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu? Asher Yishma'un Shim'acha, whoever hears of your reputation, V'rogzu, they will tremble, V'cholu Miponecho, and be fearful of you. Emosai Rogzu V'cholu Miponecho. When did those people who heard about Moshe Rabbeinu tremble and become fearful? When the sun stayed east for the sake of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's when everybody realized who Moshe Rabbeinu was, and his reputation became known, and people trembled and were fearful of him. Continues the Gemara. And this takes us back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that a city where no rain fell, they would have to cry out to Hashem. It was a curse. And then the Mishnah quoted a posuk that speaks about the curse of one city having rain and one city not having rain. Says the Gemara, Omer v'Yud Amarav, Ushteem l'klola. Both of those cities are cursed. The one which has a drought as well as the one that had the rain. The city that has a drought, nothing can grow. The city that has rain, there's so much rain that the crops are going to become soaked and drenched and the crops are going to get ruined. And therefore it was a curse for both of them. And now the Gemara is going to bring four different psukim, words in psukim, where Rabbi Yehuda, he learned something positive from a word in a pasuk that seems to be negative. The first one is, Hoyso Yerushalayim Lenido Beineim. And this is a pasuk in the first Perek in Eicha, and the pasuk there says that Yerushalayim is going to become similar to a nida in their midst. We know that a nida is a woman that is tomei, and she has to separate from her husband, and afterwards when she becomes tahir, she can again reunite with her husband. And says the Gemara, Omer of Yehuda Marav, Livrocha, that this pasuk actually implies a brocha, kenida, that Yerushalayim is going to be similar to a nida. Ma nida yesh lo heter. Just like a nida, that when the amount of time has passed, she can become tohir. Af Yerushalayim yesh lo takona. So to Yerushalayim, don't think that Yerushalayim is going to remain destroyed. No. Yerushalayim also is going to be restored, just like a nida is restored. A second pasuk, also in the first perek in Eicha, it's actually the first pasuk in Eicha. The pasuk says, Hoysoka almono, that Yerushalayim was similar and compared to a widow when it was destroyed. So this seems like being something which is very negative. However, again, Omer of Yehuda, Lebrocha. Rav Yehuda says there's an element of blessing alluded to in this pasuk. That it doesn't say, Hoysa almono, that Yerushalayim was a widow. No, it was similar to a widow. Ka almono. It was like a widow, v'loy almona mamush, but not a truly a widow. Elok isho sheholach ba'alo l'medina sayom. It was like a person, a woman whose husband has gone overseas, v'dayte lazor aleo, but his intention is to come back and return to her. So it feels like she's an almona, and she's living the life of a widow, but in truth is, she's not a widow. So to Yerushalayim, it feels like Hashem is far away. It seems like we've been sent away from our relationship with Hashem. But in truth, it's not a real almona. And in Yirtzeh Hashem, very soon, then we will be reunited with the Beis Hamikdash and with Hashem. A third pasuk. The pasuk says, V'gam ani nosati eschem nivzim ushfolim. And therefore I, too, have made you despised and low. This is a pasuk in Malachi about how Klal Yisrael were being viewed by the Goyim where they were exiled. Omer of Yehuda lebrocha, and again Rabbi Yehuda says that this alludes to an element of blessing. Deloy moikme minon loy reisha nara v'loy gaziripati. Which means that when the pasuk says that the Goyim are going to despise you and just make nothing of you, what it actually means is they're not going to appoint from amongst us customs officials or police officers. And these were jobs that whoever was given those jobs they were hated because of the nature of those jobs, and therefore the fact that the Goyim, so to speak, despised Klal Yisrael and deprived them of those jobs is what we call a blessing in disguise. The fourth pasuk says the Gemara, "Vehika Hashem es Yisrael, Hashem will smite Yisrael, ka'ashe yonud hakone b'mayim, like a reed sways in the water." Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, again it's Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav who says that Livrocha, there's some blessing that's hidden here. The Omer Rav Shmuel ben Achmeini Omer Rav Yonason. Mai dechsiv. In one pasuk it says, Ne'emonim pitzei oyhev. The wounds inflicted by a friend are very ne'emon, they're trustworthy. V'na'atorois neshikois soinei. Whilst the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, Toivo klolo shekile l'achia shiloini as Yisrael. The curse which achia shiloini cursed Klal Yisrael was better, yoisami brocha shabirchon Bilam marosha, even more than a blessing that the wicked Bilam gave Klal Yisrael. Achia shiloini kilolon bekone. When achia shiloini gave a curse, then the metaphor he used was that of a reed. Omalem Yisrael, he said to Klal Yisrael, the pasuk we started with here, Vehika Hashem es Yisrael, kashe yonud hakone b'mayim. The Hashem is going to smite Klal Yisrael like a reed sways in the water. Ma kone ze, just like this reed, oimed b'mkoy mayim, it stands in a very watery place, v'gizoy machlif, and its stalk constantly grows back after it gets cut down, the shorosh of merubim, and it has many roots, v'afilu kol ruchos sheba'olam bois v'noishvois boi, and even if all the winds in the world will come and blow it, ein mezizois oisim imekoimoi, they cannot budge it from its place, elo hoileichu boi moen, it just moves, it sways with the wind. Domemu haruchos, as soon as the winds stop, as soon as they subside, Omad hakone b'mekoimoi, the reed again stands upright in its place where it was. And this is the same with Klal Yisrael, that they're going to sway under the blows of the enemies, of the Goyim. But they're not going to be destroyed. And as soon as the storm passes, they're going to revive themselves and flourish. Aval Bilam Marosha, however, when Bilam gave them a bracha, birchon be'erez, he blessed them, that comparing them to a cedar tree. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, ka'arozim aleimayim, like cedars. And what's the nature of a cedar tree? Ma erez ze, like this cedar tree. Eino oimid b'mkoimayim. Number one, it doesn't stand in a watery place, in a place where it gets its nourishment all the time. Ve'ein gizoy machlif. And once the trunk is cut down, it doesn't grow back. Ve'ein shosh of merubim, and it does not have many roots. Afilu kol ruchos sheba'olam noishvois boi, and if any amount of regular winds will blow it, ein mezizos oisei mimekoimoi, indeed it will not budge from its place. However, kiven she noshva boi ruach d'roimis, when a southern wind, typically a much stronger wind, is going to blow on it, oikarosoi will uproot it, voifachso alponov, and overturn it. And so too, it's true that Bilam had mentioned in his brocha, comparing Klal Yisrael to this strong and big cedar tree. However, there's an element of curse in that, and that is that when they get hit hard enough, they would not recover. And that's what it means, that the curse of Achia Shiloini was better than the blessing of Bilam Marosha. V'loyoid. And not only that, Elo Shezoch Okono, being compared to a reed, alludes to something else, because the reed merited Litoy Lemenu Kulmus, that pens are made from the reeds, Lichtev by Sefer Torah, Nevi'im Uksuvim, that the holy scrolls of Torah and Nevi'im Uksuvim are written with these reeds. And that's another form of blessing which is alluded to by the Kone, by being compared to the reed. And now the Gemara is going to bring another element of advantage, which the reed is better than the cedar. Tonu Rabbonon, lo'olam yehi odom rach k'kono, a person should always be soft like a reed, he should be flexible. V'lo yehi kosher ge'erez, and he shouldn't be hard like cedar tree. Ma'aseh, there was an incident, shebore b'lozo b'Rab Shimon mi'migdal g'doir. The Belozer, the son of Rab Shimon, came from Migdal Gedoyer, Mibeis Rabbi, from the home of his Rebbe, his teacher. V'hoya rochuv al chamoir, and he was riding on a donkey. Umetayel al Sfas Nohor, and he was traveling along the riverbank. He wanted to relax and just to be joyous. V'somach simcha gedoila, and he rejoiced very much. V'hoyso daitei gasa olov, and he was feeling very good with himself, very proud of himself, mipnei shelomad teira harbe, because he had learnt a lot of teira when he had been in his Rebbe's house. Nizdamin loy odom echod shahoya muchur b'yosa, and he just, on his way, he met a person who happened to be very ugly. Omer loy, this ugly person said to Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, Sholim alecho Rebbe, peace should be on you, my teacher. V'loy hichze loy, Rebbe Elazar didn't return a greeting to him. Omer loy, what did Rebbe Elazar say to this person? He said to him, Reikon, empty one, kama mechoyor oisoy ish, how ugly is that man, referring to this man? Shemo kol b'nei ircho, could it be that all the people in your city are as ugly as you? And the truth is that this ugly person, it seems, Rashi brings this and Tosfos, it seems that this was actually Eliyahu HaNavi that was trying to rebuke Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon for the pride he was feeling for the Torah he had learned. Omar loy, so the ugly man replied to Rebbe Elazar, Eini yedeh, I don't know. Go and tell the craftsman who made me, tell Hashem, how ugly is this vessel that you've made? So this ugly person, Eliyahu HaNavi, told Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon, how are you speaking against Hashem? Hashem made me. Rebbe Elazar realized that by insulting this person, he had erred, he had made a mistake, he had sinned. Yorad min ha-chamoir, he got down from the donkey. V'nishtateach lefonov, and he bowed in front of this ugly person. V'omalei, and said to him, Ne'enesi lecha, I spoke out of turn, I shouldn't have spoken like that. M'choili, please forgive me. Omer loy, the ugly man, said to Rebbe Elazar, Eini m'ichel lecha, I will not forgive you until you go to Hashem, my craftsman, who made me, and tell him, how ugly is the vessel that you've made. How ugly is the vessel that you've made. Rebbe Elazar, he traveled behind this ugly person all the way until he reached his city. The people of the city came out to greet Rebbe Elazar. And they said to Rebbe Elazar, Shalim alecho Rebbe, Rebbe, Meiri, Meiri, peace on you, my teacher, our master, our master. Omar lohem, this ugly person said to the people of this city, Lemiatim koirim Rebbe, Rebbe, who are you calling teacher? Omruloi, they said to him, Lezeshematail acharecho, to Rebbe Elazar, who's traveling behind you. Omar lohem, he said to them, Imze Rebbe, if this is a teacher, al yirbu kamoisa bi Yisrael, there should be not that many like him in Klal Yisrael, there should be no more like him. Omru loy, they said to mipnei ma, why would that be true? Omar lehem, he said to them, kach v'kach osoli. He explained to them how Rebbe Elazar had responded to him and telling him how ugly he looked. Omru loy, so they said to him, afal pikei, nonetheless, mechoyloi, forgive him, sha'odam godol batayrahu, he's a great Torah sage. Omar lehem, so this ugly person said to the townspeople, "Bishvilchem areini meicheloi, for your sakes, I'm going to forgive him." Ubilvad shelo yehi rogil lasis kein, but on one condition, that he doesn't make this into a habit of behaving this way. Miyad, immediately, nichnas Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon v'dorash. He went into the Beis HaMedrash and he started speaking, "Lo'olam yehi odom rach kekono, a person should always be soft like a reed, ve'al yehi kosher ke'erez, and not be hard like a cedar tree," like he had been in responding to this person, to this ugly person. "Ulefikach zocha kono lito limenu kulmus," and it's for that reason that the reed was deserving and merited, "lichtev boisei fetayra tefillin u'mezuzas," that with it, then one uses it to write with Sefer Torahs, Tefillin, and Mezuzas. Continues the Gemara, V'chein ir sheyesh bo idever oim apoiles chulu. This takes us back to the Mishnah, that if there's a number of other calamities that are occurring, then people have to cry out to Hashem, and one of them is mapoiles, if buildings are collapsing. Tonu Rabbonon, mapoiles she'omru. This that they said, that when buildings collapse, one has to declare public fast day and cry to Hashem. Briois, that's only if the strong, sturdy buildings are collapsing. V'loi ru'ois, but not the weak and dilapidated buildings. She'einon ru'ois lipoil, only those who are not prone, so to speak, not fit to collapse, and they collapse, then it's a fast day and a day of crying. V'loi ru'ois lipoil, but those who are prone to collapse, and they collapse, that's not a calamity, and the day doesn't become a fast day and a day of crying. Now the Gemara says that this brisa seems to be repeating itself. Hai nihu briois, sturdy buildings, hai nihu she'enun ru'yis lipoil. They are the buildings that are not prone to collapse. Why does the brisa repeat itself? And again, hai nihu ru'yis, the dilapidated buildings, hai nihu ru'yis lipoil. They are the buildings which are prone to collapse. Why does the brisa make it into two categories? Says the Gemara, loy, tzricha. It's not superfluous, we need them both, because there's cases where you don't have both of these together. Denoflu machmas govayhu, a building that collapsed not because it was weak, but because of how tall it was. So the wall in and of itself is briois, it's a sturdy wall. However, it's ru'yis lipoil, because it's so high, it's prone to collapse. Inami or, dekaimon aguda denara, or a building which is built right along a riverbank. And these two, they could have been built very strong. However, since the water is eating away and eroding the foundations, it could be that they are prone to collapse with the passage of time. And therefore, it's not correct to say that briois are always those that are einon ru'yis lipoil. It's possible to have a sturdy building and nonetheless, it's prone to collapse. And on the flip side of that, you've got another case. Ki hahi ashisa ru'ua. There was this dilapidated wall. Dehavoi b'Naradoi, that was in Naradoi. Delehava cholif Rav Shmuel, Rav Ushmuel toisa. And Rav and Shmuel, they would not want to pass underneath it because it was a dilapidated wall. Afal gav de kaima ba'asra tleisar shnin. Even though this wall stood in its place for 13 years, therefore it's clearly not prone to fall. So here we have a case where you've got a wall which is not prone to collapse. Nonetheless, it's a dilapidated wall, it's a weak wall. And that answers the second question of the Gemara. It's not correct to say that every dilapidated wall is one that's prone to collapse. This one had been standing long enough that it's clearly not prone to collapse, even though it's a dilapidated wall. Yom echad, one day, Ikler of Adabar Ava, Lahosom of Adabar Ava came there. Omar le Shmuel le Rav. So Shmuel and Rav, who were there at the same time now as Rav Adabar Ava, and they were under this dilapidated wall in Narodah. So Shmuel said to Rav, Nesa Mar Nakif. My master, Rav, let's go around the wall, as we always do. Let's not go under the wall. Let's not pass just by the wall. It's dangerous. It's a dilapidated wall. Omar Le, Rav said to Shmuel, Loi tzurich noh idna. Today that's not necessary. Deikar of Adabar Ava ba'adon, because together with us is of Adabar Ava, the Nofish Schusei, he has a lot of merits. V'loi Mr. Fino, and therefore I'm not afraid that the wall is going to fall on us, because the wall will certainly not fall on him. A similar incident. Rav Huna havalei chamra bahu beisa re'ia. Rav Huna had his wine that was being stored in a dilapidated house. Uboi lefanuya, he wanted to remove the wine in order to save it before the house collapsed on it. Ailo le Rav Ada ba'ava lehosom. So he brought Rav Ada ba'ava there into that house. Moshe b'shmeitza, and then he just engaged. Rav Huna engaged Rav Ada ba'ava in conversation and Torah learning at the panya all the while, whilst he was removing the wine. Bosar de nofak, and as soon as Rav Ada went out of the house, nofal besa, indeed the house collapsed. Irgish Rav Ada ba'ava. At this point, Rav Ada ba'ava realized why Rav Huna had brought him into the house, even though this house was of danger of falling. Ikpad, and he was offended. He felt that this was an inappropriate way of behaving. He didn't want to have been taken to a dangerous place. Sovar lo ki hod om Rav Yanai. He held like Rav Yanai had said, Lo oilo mal yamoid odom b'mokim sakono, a person should never stand in a dangerous place, v'yoymar, and say, oisim li nes, that a miracle will happen to me, to save me. Shemo ein oisim lo nes. First of all, maybe a miracle will not happen to him. V'imtim t'loima oisim lo nes. And even if it just happens to be that the nes is performed and he gets saved, menakin le mischuyesov, but they deduct from his merits because of the miracle that was made for him. Omar Rav Chonon, and Rav Chonon said, my kro, where would this be apparent in a posuk? Tichsiv, it says in the posuk by Yaakov Avinu, kotointi mikol ha-chasodim, I've been diminished as a result of all the kindness of mikol ha-emes and the truth that Hashem has done for him. So you see here that when a miracle gets done for you, then it can minimize and deduct from the merits. And since Rav Ada Bar Ava realized that Rav Huna had taken him into a dangerous home, he was ikpid, he was upset about that. And now the Gemara says, "My hava uvdei de Rav Ada Bar Ava." It very clearly seems that Rav Ada Bar Ava, Rav Huna knew that, and Rav knew that. He had tremendous merits that even if he was going to be in a dangerous place, nothing would happen to him. He must have done something special to be deserving of this. What would that be? Kiha de Itmar as follows. Sha'alu Talmidav es Rav Zeira. The Talmidim of Rav Zeira asked Rav Zeira, Va'omri lo Rav Ada Bar Ava, and some say the question was asked to Rav Ada Bar Ava, Bameh harachto yomim. On what account did you merit living so long? You had longevity. You must have done something particularly right. What did you do that was so unique to be deserving long life? Omar lehem. So he said to them, Mi yomai lo hikpadati b'soich beisi. First of all, in my house, I never showed any anger. V'lo tzu'adati b'fnei mi shegodol mimeni. I never walked in front of somebody who was greater than me. V'lo hirharati b'mavoyis hamatunofis. And I never had Torah thoughts in alleys that in roads and alleys that were not clean, where one's not allowed to think of Torah in those places. And I never walked for Amos without being engaged, either with Torah learning or without wearing tefillin. And I never slept in a Beis HaMedrash. Not only did I not have a permanent type of sleep there, a proper night's sleep, but I didn't even take a nap there. And when my fellow stumbled, I never rejoiced. I never called my friend with a nickname. And some say that what he never did was he never called his friend by their surname. And these were all the things that Rav Ada, according to one opinion, that Rav Ada Bar Ava had excelled in, and that's why he was zoicha, he merited long life. Continues the Gemara. Even though we saw before that Rav Huna, who went into that dilapidated house, did not want to rely on his own tzchusim, and he asked Rav Ada Bar Ava to come in with him. However, Rav Huna was also a great person. So Rava said to Rav from Bar Papa, Leimelon mar mehana mili ma'aliasa. Our master, Rav from Bar Papa, tell us some of the very notable deeds the Hava Ovid Rav Huna, that Rav Huna would perform. Omale. So Rav from Bar Papa said to Rava, B'yankuse loydechirna. I don't remember anything from Rav Huna's youth, but B'sivuse dechirna. I do remember some of his deeds when he was older. The kol yoima de'eva, on every cloudy day, have a mafkin lei beguhar ko de'davo. They would carry him out in a type of a chair, a golden chair that was led with a chariot. V'sayer lo lekule mosa, and he would inspect the entire city. V'chol ashisa de'havas riyasa, any wall that he found that was weak, that was dilapidated, havasosar lo, he would demolish it in order that the rains that were coming and the winds would not, chas v'shalom, topple the wall on top of somebody. If the person who owned the wall could afford to pay to rebuild it, then the owner of the wall would rebuild it. V'lo efshar, but if it was not possible for the owner of that wall to rebuild it, then Rav Huna would pay for the wall to be rebuilt. That was one positive thing about Rav Huna. Another one, V'chol panyo d'mayle shabsa. Every Friday afternoon, have a meshadir shlucha l'shuka, he would send an agent to the market. V'chol yarko d'have a poish lehu l'ginoi. All the vegetables that remained in the hands of those, the gardeners, those that were growing the vegetables in the marketplace, zovin le, he would buy it from them. V'shodi le l'nara, and he would throw them into the river. He threw it in the river. He didn't need it. We'll soon see what he could have done with it. But he had no need for the vegetables. But what he wanted was that the owners, the people that were coming with those vegetables, shouldn't have any losses from the fact that it was Friday and they had left over vegetables. Because if they would have losses, then in future weeks they wouldn't come and there wouldn't be available vegetables for Shabbos Kodesh. Therefore, he made sure that the people growing these vegetables would never incur any losses, and therefore they would continue coming back with their wares before every Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, instead of throwing the vegetables into the river, why didn't Rav Huna give it to the poor people? Answers the Gemara, Zimnin de Samcha Datayu, because sometimes they would rely on Rav Huna that he was going to distribute these vegetables, v'le'osu le'mizvon, and they won't come to the marketplace to buy vegetables for Shabbos. And Rashi explains, and what would happen is that those weeks, or those times where there wouldn't be enough leftovers, those poor people would be left without food for Shabbos. And therefore, in order that nobody should rely on these vegetables, he threw them away. Asks the Gemara, v'lishdaya le'behema, instead of throwing them into the river, at least give it to the animals to eat. Answers the Gemara, Kosovar, Rav Huna held that ma'echal odom ein machilin le'behema, that the food that is fit for human consumption should not be fit for animals. And Rashi explains that it's a bizui, it's degrading for Hashem's food, that Hashem made it and it was created in order to feed people, they should be given just to animals. The question is, throwing it into the river, why is that any better? So Rashi explains, Rashi says he heard that what actually happened was he threw them in the river, and then these vegetables that were thrown in the river would travel down river, and people living further down the river would actually be able to collect them and eat from them. And therefore he'd rather put the vegetables into the river rather than giving it to the animals. Continues the Gemara of Zvaloy Lizvene Klal. Well, why did he buy them at all? Since he's not planning to do anything with them, not to give it to poor people and not to give it to the animals, just to put it into the river, why did he do this at all? We explained it before, but the Gemara is going to say that now. Says, answers the Gemara, Nimtzeis machshilon le'osid lovoi. Because if those people who are growing these vegetables and bringing them to the marketplace are going to be left over with vegetables that they can't sell, then in the future they're going to refrain from bringing it to the marketplace and people won't have what to buy for Shabbos. Another deed of Rav Huna, says the Gemara, ki havale milsa da'osuta. When Rav Huna had availability, he had possession of a medicine that was not available for the public. Havamole kuzo mine, he would fill a jug with that medicine. V'tolile b'sefer de'besa, and he would hang it on the doorframe of his home. V'omar, and he would say, kol de'boya leisa v'lishkel. Ever anyone who needs this medicine can come and take. Vikadamra, others say, Milsa de Shivsa Havagomir. That Rav Huna knew and understood the ways of this certain evil spirit called Shivsa that typically would hurt people whose hands were not washed, and he knew how that spirit worked. Vahava monach kuza de maya vidolile. He would put a jug of water on the doorframe of his home. And for Oman, he would say, Kol ditzrich leisa v'leil. Anyone who needs water to wash their hands before eating should leisa v'leil, should come and use this water. V'deloi listakin, in order not to be in danger of this evil spirit called Shivsa. And that's what Rav Huna understood. He understood that this demon attacks people whose hands are not washed, and therefore he made water readily available for them. Says the Gemara, another deed of Rav Huna, ki have a korach rifta, when he would sit down to eat bread, then have a posach levove, he would open his door, va'omar, and he would declare, he would say, kol man detzrich, anyone who needs food, leisev leichel, can come in and eat with me. Now Rava heard all these things from Raphram. Omar Rava said, kulu motzina mekayamno. All of these things I could also keep. Lebar meho. Besides with this last one, where every time that he would eat, he would invite anyone who needed to eat with him, he says that deloy matzino lemevad, I would not be able to do that. Mishum de nofish b'nei chelo de mechuza. Because the place of mechuza where Rava lived, there were many troops there of poor people, many groups of poor people, and they would come in and consume everything he had. And that Rava said I wouldn't be able to do because I would have nothing left for myself. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.